Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 90 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I have put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. How are you today? It's so sunny in Los Angeles, California, and I'm so sick of all this sun. I want rain. I want rain. I want wind. It's almost Thanksgiving, and I'm wearing shorts. It's so confusing. I have fantasies about moving to Portland, Oregon. I've had a lot of those fantasies this year, and on a day like today, I'm really thinking about it. I just had to throw that out there in case anybody wants to do like a rain dance in my behalf. I know a lot of you are buried under snow and having the exact opposite issue, so you probably don't have very much empathy for what I'm saying right now. So the grass is always greener on the other side, or the snow, or whatever the case may be. And today, I wanted to talk about something that I wanted to talk about for a very long time, but have not, because I have been worried about how it would be perceived, and I finally just was like, fuck it. I want to talk about this, and I'm going to. This is a part of who I am and what I think about, and I love to explore, I love to question everything. So if you've been along for this Hippie Witch ride for any length of time, you already know that, so this probably won't come as a big surprise to you, but I wanted to talk today about the left-hand path. And is it naughty or nice? Is the left-hand path evil? Is it egotistical or just plain bad in some way? And I suppose before we can even answer a question like that, we have to start with defining what we, or I should say, I'm the only one talking today, what I mean by the left-hand path. And let me just say right now, if you came to this podcast by way of a Google search on the left-hand path, and you are looking for information on Luciferianism or some other Arianism, some other ism, you are probably going to be disappointed, because I'm not getting into any kind of theology or anti-theology or tradition here. You might want to look up Jeremy Crow's YouTube channel or Mona Magic's podcast as a better starting point for that. And there may be even better starting points, but those are the two that spring to mind right now. Jeremy Crow is a Luciferian, and Mona Magic, her show is just very, very eclectic, but I'm sure she has some good information there on that as well. Today, I really just want to touch on the general intention and the very basic meanings behind the left-hand path versus the right-hand path, and a little bit about the various judgments that we may or may not have on these ideas. So let's start with Wikipedia, shall we? That's always as good a place to begin as any. Not that Wikipedia is always accurate, but I think it's a good jumping-off point. So I cut and pasted a few things from Wikipedia. I edited it. Say that. I dare you. Say edited 5 times out loud fast. I edited it down for clarity's sake. And listen to how clear I'm being about this already. It's magical. Okay, so here's what Wikipedia had to say about the left-hand path. Both the left-hand and the right-hand paths. The terms left-hand path and right-hand path refer to a dichotomy between two opposing approaches found in Western esotericism, which itself covers various groups involved in the occult and ceremonial magic. In some definitions, the left-hand path is equated with malicious black magic, and the right-hand path with benevolent white magic. Other occultists have criticized this definition, believing that the left-right dichotomy refers merely to different kinds of working and does not necessarily connote good or bad magical actions. I would fall into that camp. I think it really depends on the person and the intention and the actions, and that these are just different ways of working. So the right-hand path, I'm still reading from Wikipedia. This is the part that I heavily edited because I didn't want to get into theology and sex magic and all of that. If that excites you, knock yourself out. Google is there and waiting for you. But here's what I took from Wikipedia. Right-hand path. The right-hand path is commonly thought to refer to magical or religious groups which adhere to a certain set of characteristics. They divide the concepts of mind, body, and spirit into three separate, albeit interrelated, entities. And they adhere to a specific moral code and a belief in some form of judgment, such as karma or the threefold law. The left-hand path. I guess I did. The historian Dave Evans studied self-professed followers of the left-hand path in the early 21st century, making several observations about their practices. So here are a couple of those observations. Left-hand path practitioners, they often reject societal convention and the status quo, which some suggest is in a search for spiritual freedom. And they often question religious or moral dogma, instead adhering to forms of personal anarchism. So there, I relate to both. I've done shows and videos and stuff on how I'm just completely allergic to dogma. I really dislike when other people try to enforce their own version of morality onto other people. And what's interesting is you will find this kind of fundamentalism everywhere you go. You will find it in the world of nutrition and the various diets that exist. I always use that as an example because that was the example that really enlightened me to the fact that this is just something humans do regardless of the subject. It doesn't have to be religious. People are constantly trying to enforce their own beliefs onto other people. And I'm a really interesting, or just annoying, depending on how you want to see it, way that people will often do this, you know, is they'll do sort of like veiled, generic shaming posts on Facebook. Like just subtly shaming everyone who doesn't believe what they believe or constantly referring to themselves as being enlightened or whatever. So that just, yeah, that just grates on my nerves. So that aspect of the left-hand path, that search for spiritual freedom, questioning religious or moral dogma, yes, that totally speaks to me. I don't know if I believe in karma. I probably don't believe in the threefold law in terms of it just being a 1, 2, 3. But I do believe in cause and effect. I do believe to some degree in an integration and an interrelation between mind, body, spirit. So I relate to that right-hand path thing as well. One of my favorite biographies is called A Witch Among Us, The Autobiography of a Witch by Lois Bourne. Such a fun book. Oh, she's a witch and a psychic. Love that book. Definitely worth checking out, digging around. I don't know if it's still in print, but you can definitely get a copy on Amazon. But she makes a lot of notes to her reader throughout that book that she is a white witch who practices white magic, and she's very clear about this. Witches, at this point, 2014 going into 2015, it's a fairly old-fashioned notion that not a lot of witches, or at least the ones that I know, subscribe to anymore. That book was originally published in 1979. But what's funny about it is that my favorite sections of that book are when she's talking about her friend who practiced what she referred to as black magic. That's just the most interesting, exciting part of the book, in my opinion. And it's interesting that these two women were friends. And I think when she says black magic, that she is just using that terminology as another way of saying the left-hand path. That's my take on it. But she did have an interesting mix of respect, fear, and fascination with her friend's magic, her friend's black magic. And honestly, so did I. I think, you know, when you look up the left-hand path, if you do, you're just going to see all this really dark imagery, a lot of, like, Satanism and devils and knives and sinister-looking things that, I mean, I don't think that that's the left-hand path. I guess that's a part of it for some people, but that's not how I see the left-hand path. So I thought it'd be nice to do something a little like goofy and friendly and kooky that does not involve all of that. I think that symbolism is fine. I don't have a problem with it, but it kind of like grates me a little bit when people mix up the words Satanism and witch and call themselves a satanic witch, which they're fully entitled to do. I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm just saying I don't like it when they do it. I think it confuses everyone because witches often, you know, are having to defend themselves by, you know, to people who claim they're devil worshippers. But, you know, that's what they were persecuted back in the day for being, by saying, we don't even believe in the devil. And then you have these people coming out as satanic witches, and it's like, what do you mean? You said you don't believe in Satan. You worship Satan? So I just think, ugh, it's confusing. And my personal preference, which I know I cannot enforce on you, would be that people call themselves one or the other. But I will say, though, that the Satanic Church has held some very interesting, humorous public rituals and such in order to raise awareness around the idea of religious freedom. And for that, I am both grateful and amused. And I once heard Satanism defined as atheism with a sense of humor. And I, from what I understand, not that I understand much about it because I haven't read a lot about it, but from what I understand, I think that that might be really accurate. And they've done a lot of things in recent years that have definitely cracked me up. Jeremy Crow. I mentioned him at the top of the show, trying to redirect people to his YouTube channel. But he is someone that really got me thinking about the left-hand path, however long ago. I've been a fan of his for a while. I relate to a lot of what he says. He's an interesting guy. Look him up. But I'm going to kind of paraphrase him and tell you how he defines the left-hand path, because I think that that could help clarify some things here. So basically, the left-hand versus right-hand path, it really boils down to the goal of the spiritual path. Like, what is your goal in what you're doing? So in the left-hand path, the goal might be to become godlike. Your goal is to reach your highest potential as a creative force in the universe. It's about glorifying the individual, recognizing, honoring, and nurturing those aspects that make you unique as an individual, you know, sovereign unto yourself. So maybe you're tapping into the divine within. You might look at it that way. Or you might look at it as just a really selfish, crappy, ignorant path. Many people do. In the right-hand path, the goal of that spiritual path might be attaining union with the creator god or deity. And it's more about collectivism. And this will probably ring some bells for you. The annihilation of one's ego. So getting rid of the ego, which I personally don't believe you can even do, in favor of uniting with God in a state of ultimate bliss or heaven or nirvana. So I thought that was an interesting definition. My personal take on it is this. Again, let me say personal. My personal take on it is this. I open this up to debate, conversation. Let me know what you think. I totally want to hear what you think. I don't want this to be a one-way conversation. Leave me a comment on my Facebook page, a nice one, even if you have a different opinion, or shoot me an email if you want to state your opinion privately. I read all of my emails. But my personal take on it is I think that we, as magical practitioners, need to get real with ourselves. If we are people who are practicing in some kind of wish fulfillment, you know, creating change in conformity with your will, making your will manifest in the world, that to me is a left-hand path concept. Even if you wrap it up in light and love, even if you call it the law of attraction, even if you say your intentions are for the good of all, may it harm none, you are still exercising your will. You may argue that you are, in fact, practicing God's will or the goddess's will or the lord and lady's will, that you have a direct line to Jesus or Gaia or whatever. And if that is the case, you probably shouldn't be listening to this show because remember, you are who you hang around with. So I guess that's my personal take on it, and maybe I don't have a lot of patience for people who think that they are speaking for God. I think we all have the divine within, and I don't really think anybody is super-duper extra special that way. I think that some of us, you know, can spend a lot of time in meditation, and I'm running out of time. Here I go again with this jibber jabber, going off on these, you know, jags and tangents. But there are people clearly that have a more tapped in, I guess, relationship with the divine. They cultivate that. I'm not saying that that's not possible, but I'm just saying that the divine is in us all and that we can all achieve that. I'm also, even though I do to some extent practice a kind of let go and let God kind of surrender when there's nothing I can do about a situation, when I've done all I can, I do think there is a point where you do just have to let go and let God, so to speak. But this whole idea of like pray and wait, let go and let God, you know, without taking any kind of action, that to me would be more like the right-hand path and something that I don't relate to. I'm very much about taking action and at the very least meeting God halfway. And in this way, I feel that like the Stoic tradition really had it going on, you know, like take what you've got and make the best of it. Like keep calm and carry on, but do something. Don't just sit there, you know, which I know the people say the opposite of it. Sit there. Don't just do something. Blah, blah, blah. This is my take on it. This is how I feel. This was my original intention with Kick-Ass Switch, actually, which is why my taglines have always been putting the K in magic, K as in kicking ass, and creating the kick-ass life of your dreams. And in putting together this show, I was thinking about my about page on my website. And it is worded in the feminine, because when I originally started it, I thought I was just going to talk to women, and now I talk to men and women, and it's just kind of for everyone, Kick-Ass Witch. So please forgive the she-ness of what I'm about to read, but I wanted to read to you an excerpt from my About page because I'm trying to get back into alignment with this and with the material I am presenting. This is something that I really am going to focus on in upcoming episodes and blog posts and such. So this is what I said. Kicking ass is about getting things done. It is the result of time management, healthy habits, grace under pressure, and, of course, a touch of magic. A kick-ass switch is not some airy fairy babe dreaming big and hoping the universe makes it happen. She makes it happen. She gets things done. She gets things done because she takes action, powerful, consistent action. She gets things done because she's an active participant in the here and now, this material game called life. I believe in a holistic approach to kicking ass. Every area of your life must kick ass, For example, it doesn't do much good if you've finally conquered your money fears and built the financial empire of your dreams if, when your best friend calls to invite you to vacation on a tropical island, you cop out because the truth is you don't want to be seen in a bikini. Or on the flip side of that, you've got the smoking hot ass and self-esteem to rock even the teeniest of thongs, but when your friend calls to make that invite, you can't afford the trip. That's why I talk about health and money, relationships and career, self-esteem and spirituality. It's all related. And when you up your game in one area of life, you positively influence the others. Yay. So I wrote that in February of 2012 and launched Kick-Ass Switch on March 5th of that year. And as I read those words now, they still really resonate with me. This is what I believe. This is my mission. It is a perfect mission statement for what I am trying to do here. And as I'm staring down the year ahead, 2015, which will be my fourth year in business, I want to not only get back to the original statement, but I want to strip away all the theological debate that surrounds words like witch and magic and dig more deeply into the personal development component of creating the kick-ass life of your dreams. So maybe the name I chose for this is confusing because I don't really want to teach people about witchcraft per se. I want to talk about creating change in conformity with one's will and the many ways that we can do that. Both the practical hands-on ways and the psycho-spiritual. I want to talk about neuro-linguistic programming, nutrition, fitness, financial success, as well as the law of attraction and magic with a K, all of it, the whole shebang. And that to me is super kick-ass. Whew. I also want to say with my remaining 9 minutes that when I was contemplating doing this show on the left-hand path, I started coming across all this material on the left and right temporal lobes of our brain, and I started seeing how these things tie in with each other, and it actually really reinforced my belief that all magical practitioners, we don't walk a left-hand path, we pull from both. We use both, just like we use both sides of our brain, but that in order to do magic, you have to be able to use the right side of your brain, which is connected to your left hand. How interesting is that? Dr. Daniel Amen is a world-renowned scientist, and I'm very interested in his work. He's a neuroscientist, and I love his work, particularly what he's done around neurofeedback and how that changes the neural pathways in our brains. His wife is super interesting too, but anyway, he's the author of Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. And last year around this time, he released another book called Unleash the Power of the Female Brain, and he was doing the podcast circuits to promote that. So I came across a bunch of these podcasts and loaded up on them, and I was listening to Dr. Amen all last week, and he went on Dr. Drew Pinsky's podcast to talk about it, and he was talking about how he had gone on Dr. Oz. He'd gone on Dr. Oz's show, and that they did brain scans on Teresa Caputo, who you may know as the Long Island medium. They did quantitative EEG scans on her brain to look at the electrical activity of her brain while she was doing like a psychic reading on a member of the audience. And what they found is that when she wasn't doing a reading during the pre-reading scan that they did just to get a baseline read on what her brain is normally like, they found that normally when she's not in the midst of a reading, she had more alpha activity, which they called high alpha, going on in her brain just all the time. That's like her normal state is to be in high alpha. So that that means that she's normally in a relaxed but a super aware state, so she's relaxed and aware at the same time and more able to slip into a meditative state at will than your average bear, which makes sense for a psychic medium. They also broke down the different parts of the brain into three. So the frontal lobe, which is the biggest and most advanced part of the brain, it's in charge of planning, organizing, and control. that part of your brain kind of just shuts off when you're channeling or doing a psychic reading or meditating, because you need that part to shut off for that information to come in. And then it further shuts off when you go into a state called theta alpha, which is like a daydreaming state. And that's what magical practitioners, that's kind of the goal of what we're trying to get to. So what am I trying to say here? The right side of the temporal lobe, if you understand a little bit how the brain works, you will know that the right side of the body correlates to the left side of the brain, and that the left side of the body correlates to the right side of the brain, meaning if you are left-handed, you may be activating the right side of your brain more. So that's why I was thinking, oh, left-hand path. Literally, the left-hand path is like, that is the neural pathway to magic. And that really fascinated me. I hope that you're hanging with me here. And I really didn't get to, I guess, the results of what they found with Teresa Caputo's brain. But when they measured it during a reading, they found that both sides of her brains were lit up and that she's a left-handed person. So that right side of her brain is normally more lit up than others, and that both sides of the temporal lobe were all lit up, and then the frontal lobe was kind of sleeping when she was reading. So, again, that just proves you need both. You need the left and you need the right, whether it's the right and left side of your brain or the right and left side of being a magical practitioner or really just a human person. They also mentioned on the podcast that researchers from Canada, they did experiments on people where they stimulated the right side of the brain. And then those people, they felt a special presence or a sense of God when the right side of their brain was electronically stimulated, which is just so fascinating to me. It might remind you, what is the book that came out? A Stroke of Insight, where I forget the lady who wrote that book, but she was a doctor, and she had a stroke to where only the right side of her brain was active, and she had all kinds of really amazing, interesting spiritual experiences, which taught us a lot about what the right side of the brain is up to and what is good for. But the thing that you need to know is that you need both to be a fully functioning member of society. She could not function when only the right side of her brain was active. She couldn't take care of herself. So you really need both. And to process any kind of psychic, channeled, or empathic messages, as the case may be, you're going to need both sides of your brain to make that happen. So it can't just be one or the other. So it's actually not technically correct to say, you know, I'm a right side of the brain kind of person. You're actually both if you're walking and talking and functioning. Also, the right side of the brain is responsible for something called attunement. And remember, the right side of the brain is connected to the left hand, just to tie this up with the theme of the show. But attunement, it's the way someone else's energy affects you. So like maybe a gifted Reiki healer or a Qigong master can literally have an effect on you energetically by directing energy at you. And this might not be some otherworldly or supernatural phenomenon. It could just be simple attunement that is built into our human brains, because we need this, for example, for our survival. As in a mother being attuned to her infant, you know, she needs to be attuned to the infant's needs and emotions so that she can keep that baby alive and thriving. It's literally necessary for the propagation of our species. So the left side of the brain makes sense of the messages that you receive through the right side. It organizes them. It makes connections and produces meaning, which is where I think a lot of religion comes in and starts injecting dogmas and such and telling you what those experiences mean, or even forbidding you to court those experiences in the first place, you know. best leave that God stuff to the clergy. But anyway, I've run out of time as usual, but I think I said what I wanted to say. I didn't answer the question, is the left-hand path evil? Is it naughty or nice or somewhere in between? I recently heard someone say that evil is not real. It is simply a matter of opinion. So in keeping with that spirit, I will let you be the judge of that. Is the left-hand path evil? You decide, and I will be back here next Tuesday talking at you. Same time, same place. Much love. Peace.